We are particularly honored today to have with us from Deaf Missions of Council Bluffs, Iowa, Dave Fremstead. I'd not met Dave prior to today, talked and communicated some, but what a delight it was to be at the 9 a.m. Class for the Deaf and have him share some things there about the work that's going on there, and just was great and wonderful to hear from you, and for folks to not necessarily hear, but to learn from you through the signing that Jan was doing for us. We are so privileged also to have such a wonderful deaf ministry here. And I want to just take a shout out here for Jan Lamb. What a blessing she is. And also Jeanette and the work that they do, the way that they serve week after week after week. Not only the deaf in our church, but they serve us. They communicate for us cross culture. And what a blessing it is. Not only their abilities, but their heart for God, for Jesus, for the church, for the gospel, for the word of God, and for people. We just appreciate them so much. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. What they do. Absolutely. Now, Dave, if you would, come forward and just share with us. We're looking forward to it.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share today, and thank you, Calvary Christian Church, for being a longtime supporter of Deaf Missions. You guys have been faithful supporters of our ministry for years, and we could not do what we do without churches like yours. So thank you for your support, your prayers, and your commitment to our ministry. Our vision at Deaf Missions, the whole reason we exist, is that we desire to transform the lives of deaf people, deaf communities around the world. And the way we do that is through three different priorities that we focus on. First and foremost, we translate scripture into sign languages. Here in the U.S., it's American Sign Languages. In other countries around the world, it's their unique sign languages. Because we want to give all of God's word to be made available in sign language. So we take the book of, we take the approach of book by book, verse by verse translation of Scripture. We started the process in 1984, and we completed the New Testament in 2004. And since then, we've been working on the Old Testament, and we're a little over halfway complete with that project. And we hope to finish it all, have all of the Bible done by the year 2020. And we are on track to complete that. Have all of God's Word, every verse available to deaf people in American Sign Language. Our second priority then is training. We train deaf men and women to be better pastors, missionaries, church leaders, better trained and equipped to reach the deaf. So we not only give them Scripture in their native and heart language of American Sign Language, but then we train them in how to use it, so that they can go out and carry out our third priority, which is outreach. You know, so everything flows together. From God's Word, we train and equip them to use it, so then they can go out and reach deaf people around the world. Some of our graduates from our training center at Deaf Missions serve in full-time ministries, both in the U.S. and missionaries around the world. And they are using their skills and abilities that they learned through our training center to change lives and make a difference wherever they are at. And you guys have been a part of that through your faithful prayers and support for years now, so thank you for that. I'd like to just show you a brief video of a man named Edgar and how his life has been transformed by the American Sign Language version of the Bible. So take a look at this.
Without the American Sign Language Bible, it would be very hard for me to learn God's Word. Growing up, I didn't receive a good education. I didn't go to a deaf school. I was mainstreamed with hearing students. Even though I went to church growing up, I struggled to read the Bible. People kept telling me, read the Bible and pray, but I did not grow or improve spiritually, or I was very frustrated during all my struggles. Liz has a great point. Reading the Bible in sign language, I now understand and apply God's Word to my life. I understand that I have sinned. I have learned that I must repent and change my ways and turn back to God. Jesus has come into my heart and I have been baptized. I have been blessed as I've grown spiritually and bear more of His fruit as I continue to learn. Thank you, Father and Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This food is good, isn't it? It tastes great. I've been empowering another deaf man to utilize the ASLV for teaching the Bible to a Bible study group. Hello and good evening, y'all. Let's welcome our teacher. My father suddenly died. Who was going to take care of my brothers? I realized I'd be the one who'd have to take care of them. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do everything with Him who gives me strength. I learned that verse from the ASLV. This verse has helped me to keep going and not give up in taking care of my brothers. Both of them are severely handicapped. This verse again encourages me that I can stay strong. How? Through Jesus Christ. My name is Edgar, and this is my name sign. I love the American Sign Language version of the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
That's just a great story of why we do what we do. Edgar is a man that's been transformed by having God's Word in the language that really speaks to his heart. And that's really the focus of our ministry. We want to transform and impact deaf lives around the world. This morning, I'd like to share with you from my heart, not just about deaf missions, but about missions in general. And hopefully encouraging all of us to be a missionary wherever we are at, to live on mission and on purpose for God. If you brought your Bibles with you today, I'd like to ask you to turn to maybe a familiar passage of Scripture. It's the very last few verses of Matthew chapter 28. And as you turn there, I just want to share a story of this last summer. My son and I were able to go to Cincinnati. I was there for a convention and brought my son Josh along with me. And we added a couple of extra fun days after the conference, and we took in a Cincinnati Reds baseball game. Mm. My son loves baseball, so we thought, all right, we'll do this. And me being the frugal guy, I bought the super cheap seats. They were like $14, way up in left field. They were so cheap that we were below the Megatron screen. We couldn't even see the Megatron screen. Some 500 feet away from home plate. But we were up there enjoying the day. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I was just amazed by this one man's ability who sat behind us and to our right. This guy was so good that from where he sat, he could call the ball better than the umpire at home plate.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it, but he could swear that it would be a strike or a ball, and he had this uncanny ability to see down there and swear he could do it better than the ump. And we call those people armchair sports fans or armchair quarterbacks. And you might be one. Football season's ramping up here. It's going to start in a couple of weeks. And you might be an enthusiastic fan that likes to offer some editorial comments to the television screen after the game is going. You might disagree with a few calls being given on the field, or you might disagree with how the coach is calling the plays, or you might even think that you could play better than the athlete on the field. You're an armchair quarterback. Well, we can take that analogy even a little further and say that there are, and some of you are probably here, are probably armchair travelers. And by that I mean you love to get the shiny magazines and flip through the pictures and look at those images of the Caribbean islands or the Greek islands in the Mediterranean, and you think, man, someday I would love to go there. You know, someday I'm going to travel there and I'm going to walk on those shores and I'm going to see those places. But you keep just flipping through the magazines, and you never leave the comfort of your living room. You know, you are an armchair traveler. Well, we can take that analogy even further and say that there are probably some armchair Christians. Now, by that I mean those people that like to stay in their spiritual comfort zone, but have a lot to say and a lot to judge about other people around them. Quick to point out what they might think of as errors, you know, in their practice or their beliefs. They have a lot of editorial comments to say about different churches out there, different Christians, and they're quick to point the finger, but they never leave their own spiritual comfort zone to really grow in their faith, to engage other people, to really learn what God is doing outside of the box that they have put him in, or that they themselves live in. And sometimes God can use circumstances in our life to break down those boxes that we put God in, to rattle our spiritual comfort zones enough where we have to get to that point where we really learn what it means to live and walk by faith. God can sometimes use a serious illness in a family member or with ourselves to rattle us and shake our comfort zones, the foundations that we have been living on. He might use a loss of an income, loss of a job to rattle us enough to realize and come to that conclusion that all I had been banking on in my life, all that I had been standing on, is no longer that solid. It's no longer as secure as I thought it was. And then God can bring us to that point because of those circumstances where we really need to rely on him. We get to that point in life where we say, okay, God, all that I have is gone. Everything that I thought was safe and secure is gone. And now all I have is you. And then God says, all right, now I got you exactly where I want you. To that place where we truly understand his authority. That he is in control and that we're not, never have been. And when we understand that place of authority, we can really begin to understand what God is talking about in Scripture. And it's through that lens of authority that we need to look at the familiar passage of Scripture today. It's probably familiar to many of you, but I hope that we can look at it briefly this morning through a new set of lenses, through a new filter that understands not only authority, but mission. Well, let me read it to you from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16, reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. See, Jesus says right from the very beginning that all authority is him. If we don't get that, if we don't understand that and grasp it and begin to live in that, then the scripture is just going to be a nice, warm, fuzzy scripture and not really impact our lives. But because Jesus has this universal authority, he gives us a universal mission. That authority leads us towards mission, drives us to that. And if I were to paraphrase verse 19 and put it in my own words, I would say something like this, that as you go about your life in Christ, make Christ followers of all people. See, God's mission is this great commission. This isn't something that Jesus just
sat around one day and thought, you know, my ministry's coming to a close. I need to have a good conclusion to the story. Now, this has been God's mission from the very beginning. It always has, and it always will. It goes back to the beginning in the very first book of the Bible when God comes to a man named Abram. Later we know him as Abraham. God comes to Abram in chapter 12 of Genesis, and he basically says, Abram, I want you to leave everything that you know. I want you to leave your country, your family, all your security and safety that you have been known up to this point. I want you to leave all that and go to the country that I'm going to show you. God just picks up Abraham and says, leave that, and I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. And in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12, he says this, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So God gives Abram this promise. You know, he says, I'm going to make you leave. I'm asking you, I'm calling you to leave everything that you know. I'm going to ask you to leave your comfort zone so that I can bless you. But did you catch what he says? He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
See, I really believe that God brings blessings into our lives so that we can in turn share that with other people. It's never meant to just be, oh, God, you blessed me. You know, it's never meant to be just me and Jesus. But with our salvation, with the blessing, the grace that God gives to us, he calls us to share that to other people. That's God's mission. God is always calling us to be outward focused in who we contact, in who we spend time with. And this whole idea of missions is what God is about. The Bible is a book of missions. Our God is a missionary God. And he began it in Genesis. He fulfilled it through the life of Christ. And he carries it to completion in the end. See, God's mission has always been what we call the Great Commission. So God's mission, therefore, must be our mission. To share that blessing. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it's one of my favorite scriptures. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And man, you can take that to the bank. That is a great promise. And when we come to Christ, we are a new creation. But then a few verses later, after verse 17, he says, because of that, therefore, you are God's ambassadors, reconciling the world. He says, imploring people to be reconciled to God. Now think about that word ambassador for a minute. An ambassador is someone who travels to and resides in another country to represent his or her home country. They are the messenger, the delegate, the diplomat, the person that brings messages to the leadership of that country that they are in. And the Apostle Paul calls us ambassadors because we live in a world that's not our home, as Scripture says, because we are called to declare a message. We are called to be God's ambassadors, to share his good news, his message to the people that we encounter. And the way we do that is how we live our lives. It's the way we live our lives. And we share our story of what God is doing in our life. And you know what? Every one of you has a story. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary, you know, or an author to have a story. Each one of you has a story of how God is impacting you and using you for his glory. You might be an electrician or a plumber or a school teacher or a custodian. It doesn't matter. Each of you has a story of how God has touched your life. And that's the story God is calling you to share. Share the blessings on how God has impacted your life with those around you. So where do you go with your story? Well, wherever God has planted you, that's the place to start. So don't think about, okay, I'll do it someday when I travel, you know, or someday when I get a passport and take a short-term mission trip. No, start where you are at with the people that you know. And that story starts in how God has impacted you through His Word, through God's Word. That's why at Deaf Missions we make it our priority to translate Scripture into the native and heart language of deaf people here. And in the U.S., that's American Sign Language. You know, and the cool part is that God uses, He uses His people, the church, to carry His message, the good news of Jesus Christ, to His creation, all people. So we can't look around the church or other and point out other people and say, you know, well, it's up to them. We'll leave it up to the pastor to do it. Or they're more extroverted. You know, they know more people. You know, they would do a better job than I would. We can't sit back and say that. Because God has called each one of us to share that story. Because you have the opportunity to impact and influence people that I don't. Or that, you know, you can impact people like pastor can. And God has put you where you are at for His glory. And the neat part about it all is that as you begin to obey that, you begin to discover how big our God is. You begin to discover just how God can use you in ways that you've never thought. You know, but begin where you are at. Begin with what you already know. Don't sit there and say to yourself, well, if I just knew the Bible more, if I had Scripture memorized, you know, don't wait. You know, begin to obey what you already know and watch God Amen. Begin to use you, and you begin to understand that God's mission is our mission. It goes the same. Well, not only is God's mission the Great Commission, as we call it, not only is God's mission to be our mission, but God's passion is to be our passion as well. See, God cares about His creation. I love how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 9, that He comes to the disciples and He does some teaching to them. And He says in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 9, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest field." You see, God cares so much about His harvest that Jesus comes and He says, I want you to pray about it. Pray that God will send out more laborers into His harvest field. And you know what? I challenge you to pray that this week. And as you do, as you pray it, God is going to open up your eyes to the harvest around you.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that God is tapping you on the shoulder. And He's going to say, look at these opportunities. Whether it's at work, whether it's in the break room at your workplace, whether it's the people that you run into at the grocery store, it doesn't matter. God is going to bring you opportunities. And as you pray that, as you begin to make that the focus of your prayers, you're going to begin to see those opportunities right before your eyes. And God is saying, you know, you've been praying for more laborers. He'll say, oh, by the way, you're that laborer. You know, God cares about relationships. He cares about the people that He has created. And it's interesting to note that the longer that we are in relationships, our interests and our passions change. Those relationships can change what we are interested in. For example, I've known newly married husbands that are outdoorsmen. They love to fish and hunt, and they'll come to their newly wed, their new wife, and say, honey, I'm going hunting and fishing. You know, I'm leaving tonight. I'll be gone for 3 days. See you when I get back. And she's going, you know, where are we going to talk about this? You know, and he's just out the door. And now, like, for me, 24 years later into my marriage, my conversations are more like, honey, you know, I would love to go shopping with you as you look for a new purse. Yes, I would love to pick out new shoes with you. You know, do I really care about purses or shoes? No, but I care about the things that are important to my wife.
There you go.
And the longer we've been in relationship, the more our interest for what each other is passionate about grows. And my wife Lori does the same for me. Now think about that in terms of our relationship with God. The more we fall in love with God, the more we deepen our relationship with Him, the more we're going to be interested in and care about the things that He cares about. So when we fall in love with God, when our vertical relationship with God grows, our horizontal relationship with His creation, His people, is going to grow. So fall in love with God, and you're going to fall in love with His people, the people all around you. And then when you begin to pray Matthew 9:37-38 and asking God to send out laborers into His harvest field, then you're going to be really understanding the fact that He's talking about you. He's talking about you living your life on mission, on purpose, with the purpose of being used by God for His glory, for His purposes, not just for what you think you should do, not for your selfish desires, but to live it in such a way that you give God the glory, that other people can look at you and see that they live, that you are living your life different in the world around you. And because of that, you can draw people to Him. You know, our priorities at Deaf Missions, you know, I mentioned translation, training, and outreach. You know, we give deaf people the Word of God in the language that they prefer, sign language. We train them on how to use it through our training center, through discipleship efforts, and then we encourage them to reach out to us. And those same three priorities are true whether you're deaf or hearing. Now, God calls all of us to spend time in His Word. God calls all of us to know it, to be trained in it, and then not just to sit on it or to keep it up here, but to live it in such a way that we reach out to those around you. And that might be reaching out to the deaf, the hearing, or even to those with what we call selective hearing. You know? And you might know who you are. But God calls you to reach out wherever you are at. God's passion is to be our passion. God cares about His people, both the deaf, the hearing, both near and far. He cares about the people that He created. And the result of it all, it's all about God getting the glory. It's all about Him being praised and Him being recognized for who He is. You know, Scripture ends with a beautiful picture of worship. You know, we started earlier in Genesis with God's call to live on mission, to trust Him. And we end in the very end of the Bible with a beautiful picture of what worship of God is going to be like. And in chapter 7 of Revelation, it says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes and all peoples and all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and crying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's a beautiful picture of all people everywhere, hearing in the deaf, English, using English or Chinese or American Sign Language, and they are all declaring the praise of God. Man, that is just a global chorus at the end. And I pray that you'll be there, that you'll be a part of that, declaring the glory of God, and that deaf and hearing people will be side by side declaring the praises of the Lamb who sits on the throne. And that's what it's all about, living our lives in such a way that God gets the glory. And you can begin right now. Everything that I've talked about this morning is centered on God. I mean, it's God's mission, it's God's passion, and it's God's calling for you. So that means we need to reorient and recenter our life on Him, not the other way around. It's skewed to ask God to, you know, bless you when we might doubt God's will. So get your life in line with God's will. Recenter it. Put Him as your priority, Him as your purpose, and say, "God, it might not be much, but use me." And God will say, "All right, let's go. I have a plan for you. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, wherever you are at, to live with that purpose and mission in mind. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your son Jesus that makes all this possible. I thank you for his sacrifice on the cross that brings us into a relationship with you. And Lord, may we live in that relationship in such a way that you are glorified. Help us to live on purpose, to live on mission, so that when people see us, they see you. And Father, we thank you that you have made all this possible. And we lift this up and pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Dave will be available after services out in the foyer for a while for you to ask questions. There's a lot of good literature and information there available to you. I just appreciate so much, again, what Dave had to share. And it's something that as I heard him talking, I couldn't help but think about this past week, 10 days. How many people were mission-minded, were thinking about God's call and God's purpose for them in our giveaway. You know, the way that the church came together and worked and served to reach out to people and just to communicate God's love and communicate, again, the blessings that they were blessed with to then share them with others. And not just our church family, but those, again, who were good enough to get the news out and share what's going on with the community and the people there that, once again, were blessed and they became a blessing through that. And again, thank you for all the work that you put into there. And I couldn't help but think, too, about how so many people, again, just shared the good news about what we were doing. And they communicated that. And they told their friends. They did it through Facebook. And they did it through one-on-one communication with work. And they just shared, talked. And so many people came and said, you know, well, I just had a kind of perchance conversation with somebody who happened to mention, you know, the way you guys were doing. And I thought, wow, that'll be such a blessing, not only maybe to me, but somebody I know. And then they would tell them about it, and they came. And that's how the gospel is to be shared. What better news do we have? What greater blessing do we have to share than the good news that God so loved us, that he sent his son to die for us, that we have been saved by grace or faith, and everyone else can be too. So just accept that. So I just want to thank all of you for communicating good news about our giveaway, but think about doing that every day, about the greatest giveaway of all. That Jesus Christ was given to us, the Savior of the world, and communicate that. If you have not yet accepted that good news, embrace it for yourself, and we want to give you opportunity.